Proverbs 24:3. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Proverbs 24:3. Proverbs 24:14. Know that wisdom is for your soul. If you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Proverbs 24:14. Psalm 91:11. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 91:11. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. We spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study this evening, realizing that the Lord has for us some magnificent truths. We find this in our passage of Scripture, which you see on the screen, and you also have it on the back of last Sunday's bulletin. So if you have last Sunday's bulletin close by, you can turn to that and find Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Also, you can see the verse on the screen, and then you see it in your Bible, if you have your Bible at hand. Our purpose for being here tonight, once again, is to focus our attention upon the eternal Word of God. We realize the importance of being in fellowship with our Lord as we study His Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice tonight in the fact that we know without doubt that heaven is our eternal home, Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we have the assurance that when we leave this life, because of our acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior, His acceptance of us, we have that magnificent presence of our Lord throughout eternity. We pray that we will tonight again have open minds and open hearts to Your wonderful Word, and we thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin our reading with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4, 4. There's one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Ephesians 4:9, now this expression, he ascended. What does it mean, except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We've read for you this evening Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with 1, verse 1, and reading down through verse 13. Perhaps you ought to look with me at verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. I'm challenged, of course, always to read longer, but I'm sure that you're able to see that Ephesians 4:11 is in the passage which we've read, and it's on the screen before you this evening. We're going to analyze for a few moments exegetically the passage which you see. He gave some apostles. For a number of sessions now, we've been taking a look at the various events that God has given to us in the relationship to the timeline. And we've emphasized the fact that God has placed into effect individuals who had various positions of responsibility. We've looked at the pre-canon period. We've looked at the post-canon period. We will reiterate that for a few moments in just a little bit. What we have on the screen is, he gave some apostles. This verse begins with a conjunction kai, K-A-I. We have the personal pronoun next, autos, followed by the verb, which is the aorist active indicative, third person singular, of didomi, D-I-D-O-M-I. And he gave some apostles. We're not going to emphasize the rest of the verse other than to read it. Some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherd teachers. What I'd like to do now is to allow you to see that we need to have an outline. We've tried to give this outline in the past sessions. We've not given it in length, but we're going to do it tonight. The first division is the definition. There's the biblical use of apostleship and the non-biblical use of apostleship. When we come to the definition of the biblical use, we'll put this on the screen for just a few moments. The word apostolos is the Greek word that we've seen in our verse, and it is the word which means one who is sent, a delegated authority. If you'll notice, please, that the word apostolos is A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-S. And it's a compound word taken from two words, apo, A-P-O, which means from, and stelo, which means to send. The cognate verb, likeness, similarity, is the verb apostello, which means to send out. You may want to remember this, that the word apostle, apostolos, in the Greek, is the word which means an ambassador, or one who is sent, a delegated authority. An apostle of Jesus Christ was the highest official in the local churches, as revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, which we'll look at in just a few moments. Apostleship was a spiritual gift sovereignly bestowed by the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. Except, as we all know, for the original apostles, we'll analyze this more in detail shortly, who were already saved and who received their spiritual gift on the day of Pentecost, as revealed in 1 Corinthians 12:11, Ephesians 4:11, and 1 Corinthians 12:28. We have on the screen now the emphasis of the biblical use, and I've given you that information. And then last week we gave you just a few notes in relationship to the non-biblical use of apostleship. In the classical Greek period from 4 and 5 centuries B.C., the word apostolos was used to refer to the commander of a naval expedition. When the Athenians went to war, there were a number of men qualified to command the fleet. One of these would be elected by a lot and sent to the fleet to command it, and he was called an apostle. During the Hellenistic period of time, 323 B.C. and following, the word apostolos was used to refer to a person commissioned and authorized by one of the gods. Another non-biblical use, in the papyri of the Koine period, apostolos was used to refer to a civil agent sent to transact official business. Now that brings us to the third point that you see on the screen, We're going to emphasize this, and I'm going to ask you to be turning to some verses of Scripture. We call this classifications. We're talking about two classifications of the apostles in the New Testament. We have the apostles of Jesus Christ to Israel. So I'm going to pause for a moment and let you think about what I'm saying. The apostles of Jesus Christ to Israel, found in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. I'm going to put this again on the screen because I think that I've already emphasized this. Apostolos is an ambassador. You've seen that. Apostolos is a compound form. You've seen that. So we're not going to give that any more. Other than I'm going to put back on the screen our verse, which is Ephesians 4:11, before we move into a different discussion. What I'd like for you to do now, if you will, please, is to write down Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. And we're going to go to the 6th chapter of the book of Luke. And we're going to begin reading with verse 12. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. I'll give you time to find it because this is very important for us to get this classification. Two classifications of apostles in the New Testament. Number one, the apostles of Jesus Christ to Israel. Luke chapter 6, 12 and following, and I'll read this in a moment. Apostles to Israel were appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ according to the will of the Father, and these men were authorized to announce to Israel that their Messiah was present and that they were endowed with miraculous powers. We find that in the 9th chapter of the book of Luke. Let's begin our reading with Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. We're following Jesus now. And when the morning came, when the day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. If you'll go now to Luke chapter 9, we'll read verses 1 and 2. He called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. What I would like for you to do, if you will please, is write under classification, point 1, the apostles of Jesus Christ to Israel. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. And Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. It seems that I have difficulty getting this over. I don't think that you particularly have difficulty. But I've said this many times, that many of the believers today do not have enough information from the Word of God to understand the timeline and understand dispensations and understand the time known as the hypostatic union and the time known as the pre-canon period of time and the post-canon period of time. Many people, because of their lack of information in relationship to the subjects which I've just named, have great difficulty understanding the verses which I've just read to you. We have a roster in the Word of God of the apostles that were on the scene, saved, before the time of the church age. The second emphasis is upon the time of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The roster includes these men that Jesus himself chose from among his disciples. And the scriptures which we've just read, and we will read some more, he sent them out to evangelize the Jews as a part of their training. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, and Luke chapter 6, 13 to 17. I need to pause for a moment to tell you that Simon Peter, nicknamed Peter by Jesus, in Matthew 16, 18, Andrew, Peter's brother, James, John's brother, and the first apostle to be martyred, John was called the beloved one and the author of the fourth gospel. Then we have Philip, Bartholomew, who has been identified as Nathanael of Canaan, Thomas, Matthew, a tax collector and author of the first gospel, James, second of two apostles with this name, Thaddeus, also known as Judas, in Luke chapter 6, verse 16, Simon the Zealot, and then there's Judas Iscariot, and we all know a little bit about him. So we have the roster, number one, that includes these men that Jesus himself chose from among his disciples. He sent them out to evangelize, as you remember, the Jews as a part of their training. The second classification, which you need to write now, is during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, the men above, the ones that I just referred to, were the apostles to Israel. Later, they received the spiritual gift and became apostles to the church, as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. What I'm trying to do now in number 3, and I'll put this back on the screen so you can see my outline. Number 3 is the classification. The roster includes the men that Jesus himself chose from among his disciples. He sent them out to evangelize the Jews. That's classification number 1. And then, of course, there is the list of the apostles of Jesus Christ to the church. So classification number 2. These included the 11 disciples, which we've just named in the above list. Acts chapter 1, 26. Then we notice that there are some additional individuals. Paul, Romans 1, 1. James, the brother of Christ, Galatians 2, 19. Barnabas, Acts 14, 14. Timothy and Silas, as recorded in 1 Thessalonians 2, 6 and 7. I know what most of you are thinking now. If I had all of this before me, I wouldn't have any difficulty with it. But what I'm trying to do is let you see that it's good for you to take notes. And so I'm trying to take you, wean you away from me having to provide for you page after page of information every time the service is over. So I'm trying to eliminate our secretary from doing so much work. And I'm trying to eliminate you from having to have all of this information passed to you at the close of each service. Now, not being ugly or rude, I wouldn't do that. I've never been that way. But I just want you to know that I'm encouraging you to take notes. And I'm trying to give the information to you by the overhead projector so that you will be able to see and take the notes. Now, if you'll notice that the next area that we list here is number 3, qualifications. I want to list some qualifications for the apostles. I'm going to only give you 6, and I'll let you have time to take these down. An apostle had to have various spiritual gifts. And so the first one, the gift was provided by the Lord Jesus Christ after his ascension into heaven. Ephesians chapter 4, 8 through 11, and that's our passage which we have on the screen a few moments ago, Ephesians 4 and 11. The gift was provided by Jesus Christ, the gift of apostleship, after his ascension into heaven, as recorded in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. The second qualification of the apostle was that the gift was imparted by means of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to the apostles who were the age of Israel leaders. And this is found in 1 Corinthians 12:11 and also in Acts chapter 2. The gift was imparted by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to those who were included in that first roster, which we call the disciples who became the ones responsible for evangelizing the Jews as a part of their specific training. Number three, the apostle had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Lord. We're going to spend a few seconds here to let you see that someone may ask a question tonight about Saul of Tarsus, who became the apostle Paul. Number three, the apostles had to have an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. We find that in Acts chapter 1, verse 22, and then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1. We find an interesting passage of Scripture indeed. I'm going to turn in my Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to read for you verses 1 and 2. You may want to turn to it also. 1 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers, and he says, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord?" So we have 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. An emphasis upon the fact that the Apostle Paul is telling us here that he is an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? So we have an emphasis then upon the fact that the Apostle Paul had an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to stop for a moment on that word that says, "Have I not seen Jesus?" The Greek word is the word which we've analyzed many times. It is the Greek word horao, and it is the word which means a long look. We emphasize the fact that that word means horizon, taking a long look. And so this is an emphasis upon the fact that the Apostle Paul had taken a long look. We see that in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts when he was converted, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 when he says, "I've taken a horizon look, a long look at the Lord Jesus Christ." Number four, an apostle had certain credentials, such as being endowed with miraculous powers of miracles, found in Hebrews 2:4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. So, point four, an apostle had certain credentials, such as being endowed with miraculous powers of miracles, referred to in Hebrews 2:4, 2 Corinthians 12:12. Number five, an apostle had success in evangelism. This is presented to us in 2 Corinthians 3, 1, 2, and 3, and in the book of Galatians chapter 2, 7 through 9. And number six, and the last qualification point I'm going to give you, is an apostle had the capacity to suffer patiently. An apostle had the capacity to suffer patiently. We find that in 2 Corinthians 12:12. Now I'm going to get to the last point that you see on the screen in a few moments, but let's pause for a moment and let you be aware of the fact that we have now some interesting information to share. Some of you are going to say, "Well, I've seen this before." That's right. You've seen this before, which is Ephesians 4:11. And I repeat, he gave some apostles. The Greek word there is apostolous, A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-U-S. The O-U-S on the end there is simply an emphasis upon the fact that this is a word that shows us that it's in the accusative plural case, whatever that may mean to you. So we have an emphasis upon the apostles, plural, in the accusative case. On the screen now, I'm going to repeat for just a few moments to let you review with me. We have the timeline, eternal ages past, eternal ages future, the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the church age, the tribulation, emphasis on the rapture, the second advent, and the millennium. I would think that you could go to sleep at night and dream about this because you've heard it so many times. I believe it's possible for you to go to bed at night and close your eyes and see and have a mental picture of this. But I hope that you can see this one even far better. There have been some things added to this, and I wanted you to see it. What we've done, we've put this picture for you to show you that the hypostatic union fits into the age of Israel. From approximately 4 B.C. to 30 A.D. is a period of time known as the hypostatic union. Please be aware of the fact that Jesus Christ was born in the age of Israel. Jesus Christ died on the cross in the age of Israel. Jesus Christ came forth out of the grave in the age of Israel. We understand that Jesus Christ ascended, and we have an emphasis then upon what took place when Pentecost came in 30 A.D. Now, on the screen, you're able to see, if you're able to see this clearly, that there is an emphasis upon what is known as the pre-canon period of time. There's an emphasis on what is known as the post-canon period of time. What we've inserted here for you to see now, which we did not have on the picture before today, and that is that I wanted you to see that during the pre-canon period of time, that there were the gifts of apostleship, healing, miracles, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. It is important for you to put down, if you're drawing this, put it down so that you can be aware that there were some things that took place in the pre-canon period of time that were not to be taking place in the post-canon period of time. I'm letting you look at this for a few moments because I want you to see how we're putting this together for us to be able to properly analyze how the Word of God is presented. When we were in the seminary many years ago, we took a number of different courses. One of the courses that we took was what it was called systematic theology. I thought about this in recent days. This is very, very important. Because if you study the Bible, you have to understand, what the Bible teaches, God has a system. And if we have a concept of a system, we will be able to know what God's plan is for our lives individually, and that we're able to fit into that particular system. If people do not understand dispensations, they're going to forever be in a state of confusion, frustration, and bewilderment. And for that reason, now, since you've had time to look at that, I'm going to put up here the pre-canon spiritual gifts. The pre-canon spiritual gifts from 30 A.D. to 96 A.D. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. The pre-canon spiritual gifts include, as you see on the screen, apostleship, miracles, healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues. I realize that I cannot take the time to take you to all these various passages of Scripture. I'm going to refer to many passages and ask you to write them down and refer to them in your own private study. Pre-canon spiritual gifts from 30 to 96 A.D. The Apostle John lived a little longer than that. Theologians, historians tell us that he lived probably to 117 A.D. And if that be the case, that means that the gift of apostleship went past 96 A.D. all the way to 117 A.D. That's the reason why I put in parentheses 117 A.D. The pre-canon spiritual gifts, apostleship, miracles, healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues. If you'll keep this in mind, we're going to now give you some very, very important points, and I'm going to come back to the post-canon spiritual gifts in a few moments. I'm going to hold this in hand, and now we're going to be giving you some points on the subject of apostleship. I would encourage you to copy these. Number one, God used apostles for recording His Word. God used apostles for recording His Word. When I think in terms of the books of the New Testament, over a period of time, we've tried to analyze and give to you the information that, for instance, the various books of the New Testament are written in various times. We've given you, for instance, 57-58 A.D., the time of the writing of the Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. We gave you the timeline in relationship to the book of James. We emphasized the time of the writing of the Gospel of John and 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, the book of Revelation. You have all this information, so I don't need to reiterate that. But I have on the screen for you now John and Paul as examples. God used apostles for recording His Word. What's amazing to me is that this man who was such a crude, rude, ungodly individual, his name was Saul of Tarsus. He thought he was doing his God a favor by killing believers. And we all understand when we read the 9th chapter of the book of Acts that God did something fantastic in that man's life. He was miraculously and marvelously changed, just like anyone who is saved is miraculously and marvelously saved. And I'll promise you that when Saul of Tarsus became God's man, he became a man of grace. And we have, as all of you know, so many of the New Testament books that God used the Apostle Paul, the man of grace, to pen those books. And you and I appreciate and we profit so much from the fact that God used the Apostle Paul in writing so many of the New Testament books. So I put down here for you to see. God used apostles for recording His Word. Example, John. Example, the Apostle Paul. Number two, the last temporary gift to cease was apostleship. The last temporary gift to cease was apostleship. Why do we say that? Because of the fact that John was the one out there on the Isle of Patmos, and God used him in the writing of the book of Revelation. And so the last temporary gift to cease was apostleship. Number three, apostleship was a gift sovereignly bestowed by the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. What is so unique, and I think that you are able to see the fact that there's a difference between the disciples and those who became apostles in the age of Israel and those who are emphasized as the church age apostles. Apostleship was a gift sovereignly bestowed by the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. Number four, this gift was designed to carry the church unto the completion of the canon of Scripture. It's very, very powerful for you and me to be able to analyze this and understand that the gift of apostleship was designed to carry the church unto the completion of the New Testament canon in 96 A.D. What do I mean by this? I mean that God had a special reason for the apostles. And that particular gift was designed to carry that New Testament church until the completion of the canon of Scripture. What I try to realize and try to help you realize is that these individuals during that pre-canon period of time had certain gifts. For instance, the gift of tongues, the gift of healing, the gift of interpretation of tongues, apostleship, these various gifts which we've already mentioned a number of times, those gifts were designed for a specific purpose. They were their credit cards to let people know that they were instruments from the hand of God. This gift was designed to carry the church unto the completion of the canon. Also, you are aware of the fact, and I'll put this on the screen, though I didn't intend to. When you go to, and I'm putting my worksheet up here for you. I guess it's okay for me to do this. I want you to understand that hours are spent in analyzing, and I have real clean pages that I put up on the screen for you to see. And then I have messed up pages where I work on these pages and work on these individual words. And so I'm going to let you see a worksheet. I even called it a worksheet. You can look up at the top right corner and you can see that I've written for myself a note, worksheet. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, the reason I'm doing this is because I have an audience tonight that properly understands what I'm teaching. There are times when I have audiences that cannot understand what I'm teaching. And so I understand that you understand what I'm teaching. And so that reason, and for that reason, I can put this on the screen and I can analyze it with you and let you see exactly what it says. I'm always disturbed by people who don't accept what the Word of God says. I'm not concerned about what John Doe says or anyone says. I'm interested in what the Word says. And so on the screen now, I want to remind you that when you come to the last verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Lord is saying through the Apostle Paul, this is written during the age of Israel time. You have to understand this. It's written during the age of Israel time. Please understand. I've had people question me in recent days when they said, you're saying that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, age of Israel information. And the question seemed to come, are those scriptures applicable or applicable? And my answer to that is the Old Testament applicable? Is the Old Testament applicable? Do you see what the answer is to that? But you have to understand that the last verses of the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians do all have the gift of healing? Implied, of course not. Do all have the gift of tongues? Implied, of course not. Some do, some don't during that period of time. You understand that when you analyze what it says from the original language. And then it says, I'm showing you a more excellent way. And the more excellent way is the love system. The system that we study. The system that we know about. And if we know anything, we know about the love system. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 13, known as the love chapter, is the Holy Spirit chapter. And it says to us, love never fails. Love is never hissed off the stage. The love system is God's system for us in this church age. But I want you to see it. Can you see this okay? Can y'all see it okay? I want you to see it. Whether there be prophecies, they will be abolished. And what you have here is the Greek word kat argeo. K-A-T-A-R-G-E-O. Kat argeo. Please notice how this word is used. It's a future, passive, indicative verb. Third person plural. What does all that mean? I'll tell you what it means. Most of you already know. Future tense means from the point of time that this was written by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul in about 57 A.D., pre-canon period of time, do you get it? We see passive voice, the gift of prophecy, indicative mood, the mood of reality, will be kata or geo. And when I studied this, I wrote myself a note. What does this word mean? You can't see it, but I can read it for you. Inactive, inoperative, no further efficiency, bring to naught, abolish, sever, render idle, unemployed, put away. That's what it means. It means that there will be a time when this magnificent, legitimate gift of prophecy, beautiful, wonderful, legitimate, is going to be no longer necessary. And when it's no longer necessary, the people in our day who are trying to reproduce what was once legitimate, that's now illegitimate, you can see how tragic and how sad that is. Let's go on. Because here's where most people are hung up today, if they're in the tongues movement. Our tongues, the Greek word is G-L-O-S-S-A-I, but I want you to follow me, they will cease. But notice how now this word is used. It's the Greek word P-A-U-O, pao. Up here it's a future passive indicative. Here it's a future middle indicative. Some of you are going to jump up and down and say, I see it. Some of you are saying, I don't know what you see. But I want you to see what I've seen so that you can see it too. And if you can see what I have seen, you will jump up and down, but don't do it right now, please. Future tense, from the point of time that the Spirit of God was using the Apostle Paul to write this. Middle voice. What does the middle voice say? The middle voice says the subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby. This is telling us two things. This is telling us that the gift itself of tongues will be benefited by no longer being necessary. And it tells us also that we will be benefited by the fact in the church age, the post-canon period of time, that particular gift that was legitimate and right at one time is no longer now necessary. And if we try to get ourselves involved in it, we're going to become frustrated and confused and bewildered because it is not an active, legitimate gift for this time. Now, why did I get into that? Because I wanted to. Number four, this gift, legitimate gift, was designed to carry the church until the completion of the canon. Church age apostles, number five, were not appointed until after the resurrection. I'll give you time to copy that one. Church age. I hope you have in your mind Israel, the age of Israel, and the fact that there were men who were saved, appointed by the Lord, who were saved and became church age apostles at Pentecost. Then we have church age apostles. Church age apostles were not appointed until after the resurrection. Church age apostles. If that doesn't make sense, just put it up on the shelf and it'll make sense eventually. We must know the difference between the apostles to Israel and the apostles to the church. I've said this in a number of different ways. Now I'm saying it again. The old Negro preacher said, you tell them, and you tell them what you told them, and then you tell them again what you told them. I've told you again, and I'm now telling you once again. We must know the difference between apostles to Israel and apostles to the church. If you want to know where the scripture is found in relationship to the apostles in the Jewish age, One example, there are others, is Matthew chapter 10. If you want to know where the scriptures related to the church age apostles, you find it in our verse of scripture here tonight, which is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and Ephesians chapter 4, 8 and following, if you notice how I did that. Oh, don't get too fast. Number 7. This gift exercised authority over all local churches. The gift of apostleship exercised authority over all local churches. Example, like the Rome, like the church at Ephesus, like the church at Colossae, and on down the line. What is different today is that God calls a minister to be the pastor of a church, and that minister does not have the responsibility of authority over other local churches. The responsibility is here, locally. You see? In that time, the gift of apostleship gave authority over all local churches, such as Rome, Ephesus, Colossians, and so forth. Number 8. An apostle had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection. We've already emphasized that. Acts chapter 9, all through that 9th chapter. 1 Corinthians 9, 1. Chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. You can take those verses and look them up. Fantastic indeed. Number 9. The apostles' authority established by supernatural gifts. This is so neat. The gift of miracles, the gift of healing, the gift of tongues. I'm giving you these scriptures so that you can write them and look them up. Acts 5, 15, Acts 16, 16 through 18, Acts 28, 8 and 9. This is an emphasis upon the fact that God gave these men supernatural gifts. Did you notice how I said this? Supernatural, temporary gifts. For instance, the gift of healing. The Apostle Paul. I find this so very interesting. When I see how God used the Apostle Paul to heal individuals in Acts chapter 19, 11 and 12. There are other verses of Scripture. You can follow this yourself. You'll be amazed as you see how God used the Apostle Paul. And then you'll see that there came a point of time when the gift of healing was being hissed off the stage. And we find in 2 Timothy 4:20, Trophimus, I left at Miletus sick. I'm aware of the fact, and I've studied this, so if you want to debate, that's okay. But I want you to see that there are some interesting facts in 2 Timothy 4:20 and in Philippians 2:27 about Epaphroditus and Trophimus. Number 10. The roster of apostles. Luke 6:12 through 16. Apostles to Israel who became apostles to the church. 1 Corinthians 12:28. When I got through 10, I realized that that was a good stopping point. And then I realized something else. There just may be someone in the auditorium tonight who would say, do you think that the Scripture teaches that there's a possibility of other individuals being apostles? So I wrote a little question and an answer to it. Apostles, others, were there any other apostles besides the 12? Others who had delegated authority or who were sent on apostolic missions? Well, most of us have been able to find this. I do not know if you could classify these individuals as apostles, but you could say that they had delegated authority and they had responsibility in the mission field, like Barnabas in Acts 14:14 and Galatians 2:9. I also find James, the Lord's brother, in Galatians 1:19 and 1 Corinthians 15:7. I've also found Silvanus and Timothy, 1 Thessalonians 1:1 and 2:6, could have been classified as leaders, apostolic mission leaders. As far as being classified as apostles, I really don't know. But I do know this, that I found Apollos in 1 Corinthians 1:12 and in chapter 16, verse 12. And I found there it says, some say that you are of Paul and some say you are of Apollos. Apollos' name is there. So that means that he must have been some prominent missionary individual. Have I given you enough time to see this? In other words, what I'm trying to say is we have analyzed the subject of apostleship. And that takes us back to the last look at this verse. He gave some apostles. When I look at this verb, I need to tell you again. It means aorist tense at a point of time. Active voice, Jesus Christ was the one who did it. And the indicative mood is the mood of reality. I didn't give you the last point, did I? The function. I'll do that later. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful for your wonderful grace and for the way that you have blessed all of us and given us opportunities to open our eyes to the beautiful, magnificent plan of God in relationship to all of these wonderful spiritual gifts. We realize that now in this church age, every born-again believer has at least one spiritual gift. And we have been given that gift at the point of regeneration. And we're to function within the framework of that gift. So help us to live our lives in such a way and find ourselves saturated with your word so that we'll be able to properly function as you have us on this earth for a very brief time. We thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. And we pray that there will be those who've heard this message tonight who yet have never accepted you but will accept you now. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do that just now. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.